Like that. All right. Genesis is chapter 19, verses 1 through 15. Bible says, the two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot, that's a guy's name if you don't know, Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them, and he bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered. We will spend the night in the square. We're going to come back to that. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men, say all. All the men from every part of the city. Say every. It says, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. You know, that's a rather plain statement. I don't know that I really got to explain that to you. I believe the Lord has explained that clearly. Lot went outside to meet them, shut the door behind him, and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. Now, I don't know that I got to explain that to you either. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. Get out of our way, they replied. This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse than them. And they kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. And he said, hurry, get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished. Lord, we come before you this morning. Challenging text, challenging scripture, Lord, but your word is a stumbling block. It is also a lamp unto our feet. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would explain to us, make clear to us the truth in your word that would indeed set us free, Lord. Show us your mercy and your compassion, Lord, that we might grab onto it, Lord, that we might dwell in your mercy and not miss it. Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning, each of us, Lord, that you would speak clearly to us in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Yes,
there we go. Hey, Friday night, Saturday, we took the youth to Acquire the Fire. Was quite the event put on over at Skyline. They do this all over the nation. And on Friday night, we met at the church at 5:45, anticipating a dynamic event. And I had brought JJ. And we had come early. Juan was here, and we were waiting for everybody else to show up. And I was printing this thing out so we get the tickets and all this stuff. And And we are preparing to leave, and we are actually about 10 minutes past our departure time as I was trying to work out all these details. And I go out, and everybody is there and ready to jump in the car, get ready to go, except JJ. And I'm thinking, where is JJ? And he got an offer. I mean, he got recognized out of all the kids in his program. They had two tickets to a free camp that's coming up, I think, on the 28th of March. And I said, yeah. I go, why JJ? You know, he goes, he's a good kid and all this stuff. And so he's totally excited. I want to go to this thing. And he's filling it out. And I'm like, okay. And then he's gone. I mean, he's gone. And so I'm yelling as loud as I can. We're thinking, is he in the park? Did he run away? I got no clue. And we got to go. So we leave him. And I was so happy that my wife was not here. Because my wife would have been freaking out. Oh, he's dead. You know, I don't know what happened. But I had, I don't know, five other kids or whatever, something like that. We got to go. And so we drive on out, and I'm thinking, maybe he took that form back to the school, or maybe he went to go find his mom. What did he do? And so anyway, I drop the kids off, get the tickets, find the seats, do all that stuff, got to go to the hardware store. And now, you know, I'm starting to think, and I'm starting to get a tad concerned. Well, and then I'm going back to the church. My phone is dead. It's got no battery, and I'm getting a little irritated. So I come back, and Pastor Ramiro, he's got his Tumi classes done, and he's the last one here. And I'm like, I come in with this kind of, and he goes, "Oh, JJ's up on the computer." Oh, really? So I come up here, and JJ's watching a movie on the computer. Now, he says in his defense that he wasn't doing that before we left. But all the stuff that we had put together to get all these youth to acquire the fire, JJ missed out. He went on Saturday. We're taking a look at Lot tonight, today. We're taking a look at the mercy of God. And Lot is this close from missing out on the mercy of God. Amen. Message I get as I take a look at Genesis chapter 19 is that you can miss out on the mercy of God. And I hope this morning, as we take a look at this sixth session of finding faith, that you are not in line to miss the mercy of God. We have been looking at the life of Abraham, and he is now called Abraham. He has been called Abram up to last week. And we saw that he was indeed called from Ur of the Chaldeans. And it took him 25 years to answer that call. A little tardy, if you ask me. And he got to the place where God had him to be, and he heads off down to Egypt, and bad things happen, and he comes back, and he splits off with Lot. He's on track, rescues Lot from these Babylonian kings. All is looking good. He is... reaffirmed as the father of many nations. He is going to have a son, and then he takes a 13-year sidetrack with Hagar. Another poor choice. And we see these gaps in Abraham's life as he is out of the mercy of God, that he is doing things on his own strength and on his own will. Maybe somebody here can relate that maybe when you are running on your own strength, things don't run as smoothly as they might. Amen? Amen? So, we come to last week. Ishmael, Hagar, and Abraham's son reaches 13, the age of adulthood. He no longer has that responsibility. He can move beyond, and God says, okay, let's get back on track with this promise, this plan, this purpose for your life. Amen? Amen. And he says, okay, you are now the father of many nations. I'm going to call you Abraham. No longer will you be called Abram. And you are going to bear a sign of this covenant in your body, which is circumcision. And Abraham circumcises all the men that are with him. And he begins to dwell in the mercy of God. We take a look at Lot today, who has separated from Abraham. Text does not tell us, but most likely, Lot is not circumcised. And all of Lot's people are not circumcised. And the Bible says in Genesis 17, verse 14, any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And as we take a look at Lot, and we take a look at what is going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah, and we take a look at Lot, who had pitched his tent towards Sodom, but is now living right in the middle of the city, that indeed Lot is in danger of missing the mercy of God. Amen. We'll take our time today and look at that as we take a look at Judgment Day. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, I got a lot of text. That's okay, right? I can read the Bible to you? All right. We're going to go back, step back to the beginning of this, halfway through 18, and I'll let you know that at the beginning of chapter 18 is when the Lord approaches Abraham, and Abraham welcomes them, three visitors, and prepares a meal for them and puts them up and all this kind of stuff, and we jump into the end of that meal, okay? Are you tracking? So basically, Abram's at his tent. These guys come walking by. He says, come, have a meal with me. Invites them in. He sees that they are special people. And so we pick it up as they are leaving. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom. Notice that, let me tell you that Abraham is living near the great trees of Mamre, which are in the hills, in the mountains that are by Hebron. And they could look down and possibly not see Sodom, but they could see the rich and fertile plains that surrounded the cities of the plain, of which Sodom and Gomorrah were two, but there were others. And so they're headed down to the plains. They said, yeah, he says, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, so these three guys represent the presence of the Lord, okay? They're kind of going with the fullness and power, and in fact, they're even addressed as the Lord. And so it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. You catching this? So that there is a reason why we live according to the precepts of God. So that, the Bible tells us right here, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him to be a blessing. He says, I'm going to bless everybody that blesses you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you. Man, that's God saying, I got your back. And he says, I got that. And you live in response to that covenant. And all this stuff is coming at you. The Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. And God is telling Abraham that he is going to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And so let's take off. Now, there is this kind of, hey, you know, should I do this? Should I not do this? I don't really know. I'll tell you what. I am certain that God went by Abraham's place on purpose. Amen? Abraham is dwelling in the mercy of God. He is circumcised himself, circumcised his whole household. He is lining up on the Lord. He is firmly in the covenant of God. And he says, because of that, I am going to include you on what am I about to do. I want you to know, I want you to begin to understand how I act and how I view sin. There is, this judgment is an opportunity for Abraham to understand the ways of God. This judgment upon Sodom is a way for Abraham to grow up in the ways of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
God wants you to understand his ways. George, can you help this gentleman here? I believe he's looking for Pastor Ramiro's class. God wants you to grow, and God wants you to learn and understand. I hope as you are with us that you feel that you are growing in your understanding of the ways of the Lord. Amen? Every time you come in here, you will hear the Word of God. We will read to you the Word of God because that is what is going to change your life. Amen? That and the Holy Spirit moving in you, guiding and directing you to a change in your life. Now, God is always in the habit of telling his people what he's going to do. This book is filled with cause and effect. You do this, this is going to happen. You do that, this is going to happen. Can I get a witness on that? You want to have trouble with your money? Don't tithe. You want to have problems with your marriage? Have an affair. You want to have problems with your relationships? Be a gossip. You want to have problems at your job? Steal. Be lazy. It is in the book. It will not serve you. Now he says, if you want to do what is right and just, all these things are going to be done for Abraham. And as you are right and just, God is going to do things for you. You want to have your money right? Tithe. Yes, tithe on your tax refund. Can I get a witness on that, please? Why? Why should I tithe on my tax? I got $4,000 coming back. Well, I'll tell you what. He says, when you tithe, I'm going to keep your trees from casting their fruit. You know what that means? It means that your fruit trees won't, the fruit won't fall off on the ground and rot. Now, I know that tax refund is a chunk of money. And what you need is the Lord helping you be wise with that money. How many of you have done stupid things with that money? Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Don't be dumb. You want to be right in your marriage? Submit yourselves one to another. It's in the book. Amen?
Amen.
You want to be right in your relationships? Humbly consider others better than yourself. You want to have success in your work? Do everything as unto the Lord. Amen? You can find success. I want to know, does this describe you? Are you dwelling in the mercy of God? Or are you in danger of missing it? Your actions will tell. Amen? Are we okay? All right, let's keep going. Abraham is moved to compassion. Now, I want you to notice Abraham's heart here. He says, the men turned away and went towards Sodom. And Abraham's going, whoa, hey. Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? That's just wrong, right? Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Doesn't that sound wrong? In your heart, in your core, in your soul, you're just going, wait. God doesn't do that. And that is what Abraham is doing. Wait, God, let me understand how you are. He says, will you really sweep it away? Let me back up. Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the whole city for the sake of the 50 righteous people? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. You live a righteous life? You come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he declares you as righteous because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross? Don't you want to be spared judgment? You don't want to be lumped in with the wicked. Amen. Abraham saying, hey, I don't want to be lumped in with them one day. I don't know what's coming around. And so he is saying, hey, wait a minute. Let me understand how you are. And God, I got to believe, is just smiling inside saying, man, that's such a great question. I'm so glad you asked that question. Because you're learning, Abraham. You're learning about me. And he says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. That's a merciful God, amen? Yes. And that is a compassionate man. And as Abraham intercedes for Sodom, and the argument, the prayer moves, you know, hey, what about 45? What about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? It ends at 10. God says, if I can find 10 righteous people, I will spare the whole city. Now, I want to remind you of something. Abraham has no love for Sodom. Remember when he was outside of Jerusalem called Salem and the high priest Melchizedek, and he brought a tithe, and the king of Sodom says, hey, you brought all the stuff back, all my stuff back. You can keep the stuff, but I want the people. And Abraham says, hey, man, I made a deal with God. I want none of your stuff. You will never be able to say that you made Abraham rich. Abraham has no love for Sodom, but he is moved to compassion for the righteous. And sometimes we have to look past our old feelings and our old grudges. Because the Bible says what? If Abraham does what is right and just, and it is right and just to stick up for the righteous. Amen? And that is why we are reaching out to those kids across the street and those families, because we want to show them that there is a place that honors God, a place that walks in righteousness and justness, a place that flows in the mercy of God. Amen. Are we tracking? Are we okay? Is this getting to the back? All right. It's uphill. Always uphill around here, right? All right. God, you can't sweep away the righteous with the unrighteous, the wicked. And God has programmed that into us. We know what is just. We know that it's right. Prayer goes on. It gets down to 10. And it ends up with, in chapter 18, verse 33, the last verse of chapter 18. He gets down to 10, and God says, okay, if I find 10. And then it says an interesting thing, and you wonder why it's in there, that Abraham turned around and went home. You know, and you kind of think, well, big whoop. But if it was me or you, and we had just gone through this whole thing with God, wouldn't we say, let's go find the 10. Let's go see. I want to go see. I want to go check. Can you get what I'm saying? I would want to go and be involved in the counting, not Abraham. Abraham says, okay, God, I have your word. And he goes back to his tent. And he is relaxing. He is doing what? He is relaxing in the mercy of God and trusting in God. My question for you today is, do you trust God? Can you relax in the promises of God, knowing that they are going to happen even when you don't see them? Because that is called faith, right? The substance of things not seen. And Abraham found his faith. Amen? I want to tell you about all the work that we did this week. We did some work down here in the preschool room. Had some great work from Eliseo. The end of the week was taxing. And we put the freezer in the fridge in, moved the door in the freezer. You'll see I got a picture there of the work that was done, the new freezer in the fridge. You can go down there and check it out afterward. And I knew that there was just no way, there was no way I was going to be able to do all this. I could not lead all this. In fact, I did not lead it, but I am exhausted today. One man that I could totally rely upon to help me and to get that done is Mike Henson. And I am telling you, Mike and I have worked on a lot of projects in this place, and not one time has Mike ever let me down. And so, and I say that because as Abraham went back to his tent, trusting and relaxing in the Word of God, I was able to go out and buy that freezer and buy that fridge and come back knowing that that door would be moved so I'd be able to put them in there. I could relax in the Word of Mike Henson. And I want you to think about the people that you can trust. And I want to know whether or not you feel that you have that trust for the Word and the promises of God. Because that's what Abraham had. And that's why he's called the father of the faith. And that's what God wants to develop in you. Trust me, and I'll provide for you. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. Are we good?
Yeah.
All right. We're only barely started. Okay. Whew. All right. Chapter 19. It's stiff. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them, bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet, spend the night, then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered. We will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house, and he prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. The Lot meets the angels. And I want you to notice, I had to describe this for you earlier, but Lot acts very much the same way that Abraham acted. Abraham was sitting at the entrance to a tent. He's sitting at the entrance of the city. They both offer them meals. They both want to welcome them and to bring them in. Second Peter. Peter writes and tells us about the character of Lot. 2 Peter 2:7, God rescued Lot, a righteous man. A righteous man. Now, we read some of the other stuff. And Lot runs into problems, but he is trying to do good. These guys who don't look like normal people, they come to town, they look special, they look different, and Lot recognizes that, and he says, hey, come to my house. And they say, no, we're going to go into the city square. Now, that would be like people you know coming to visit you from Idaho or from Iowa or from someplace like that, Minnesota. And they would come and stay with you, and they would say, oh, we just love San Diego. We're going to go hang out on University Avenue tonight and just enjoy the people. And you might say, No. We'll stay in tonight. We'll get a movie. We'll do something. But University Avenue, that is not where you want to be at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Now, you guys been out there, driven down that street?
Yeah.
Hey, you don't even want to stop, do you? No. Bad things happen out there. That's what's going to go on in Sodom. Now, some people have a problem with this text. Say, wait a minute. How can I trust in the Bible when there's so many errors in it? Because it says right there, two angels arrived at Sodom, and three left Abraham. Doesn't add up. I can do math. Well, I got to remind you, somebody had to go check out Gomorrah. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
So, two guys go check out Sodom, and somebody had to go check out Gomorrah to make sure what? It was as bad as they had heard. So, that accounts for everything. Amen? All right, let's keep reading. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called out to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind them and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you. And my wife is shaking her head no right now. How many of you ladies find this absolutely revulsive? Okay. How many think it's a great plan? You know what? Lot is a rich man. If Lot had went outside and said, take all my sheep, all my cows, all my camels, take everything I own, but leave these two men alone, we'd be thinking, man, Lot is down for the Lord. Amen? But that's not what he said. Don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. Get out of our way, they replied. They said, this fellow came here as an alien, talking about Lot, and now he wants to play the judge. We'll treat you worse. See, they were going to give these guys flowers and candies and try to woo them. They were going to treat them badly. We'll treat you worse than them. We're going to do to you what we were going to do to them. And they kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved back to break the door down. We know that the angels pulled Lot back in and blinded everybody to save him. Things get bad. The outcry is indeed as bad as they had heard. Now, the outcry is what? The outcry is prayers. God had heard screams coming out of Sodom for people that had had this done to them. And he is going to check it out. Now, those prayers might not have been directed to the creator of heaven and earth. But when you reach the end of yourself and you have got nowhere to turn and cries go out, you are crying out for mercy. Please, somebody help me. Holy Spirit, hear those. Sometimes that cry that goes out to anyone is answered by the Lord. The Lord shows up. Check out Sodom and Gomorrah. The outcry is just heinous. The savagery, the brutality. People crying out for the mercy. Lot goes out, says, Got to make sure I'm on the right page here. Picture's pretty obvious. Four things. One, every man is involved, old or young, near or far. Second thing, Lot is viewed as an outsider. He's not one of them. These men, three, are bent on treating these visitors badly. And last thing, Lot is not successful. You will not find success when you try to bargain with sin. There is no bargaining with sin. The Bible tells us that the Lord will take people that are lost in sin and turn them over to their own sin, Romans chapter 1. And when you get involved with people like that, or you are on the edge of that, as Lot was on the edge of that, trying to be a righteous man, but surrounded by unrighteousness and sin and heinousness, that it was not working out for him. The thing that sticks out, the thing that just sticks in every woman's mind here is the thing that happens with the daughters. Because every one of these ladies was a daughter at one time, and not one of them ever wanted to be treated by their father in this way. Now, I have tried to think contextually and historically, and maybe back in that culture where you owned the women, you know, this might be, you know what, there is never going to be a time when this is culturally acceptable. Never, ever. Never going to take your young, pure, virgin daughter and throw her outside and let her be abused and killed by a massive crowd. And what we have to surmise is that Lot, this righteous man, has been stained by sin. That he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he saw Sodom, and he looked at it every day, and it drew him closer and closer and closer until he was finally camped out in the city. Stained by sin. And that stain will cause you to miss the mercy of God. And I don't want you to miss that mercy today. I remember a lady who came in many years ago, and she was living on the street, but she looked better. She looked better than most of the other people on the street. And she kind of connected in. And I mean, she wasn't around more than a couple of weeks. But she could talk. She would talk to me. And she let me know that she had a husband in Escondido. That she had a house in Escondido. That she had a son playing varsity football and a senior year in high school up in Escondido. that her daughter was a cheerleader and they had money and they had vehicles and all this stuff. I said, well, what are you doing on the street? Crystal meth. Could not say no. What gave up her whole life out on the street smoking crystal. You cannot bargain with sin. There is no, doesn't treat you nice. It will chew you up and it will spit you out. And it, Lot, you know, Lot's getting gnawed on here. You take a look at the next chapter, the end of this chapter, I mean, it doesn't go good with Lot, man. I mean, his daughters do a little thing that kind of, you can read it. It's not good. The Moabites come from Lot, and they are at war with the children of God all the way through the Bible. But that's another sermon. I just wanted to throw that out there. All right, Lord makes judgment. It is judgment time. The men inside reached out, pulled Lot back into the house, and shut the door. Bam. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, both young and old. To me, I'm getting the feeling that's all of them. With blindness, so they couldn't find the door. And I'm wondering if they were keeping on trying to find the door after they were blind. Not just being lost in sin. Amen? The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, daughters, sons, anyone else in the city belongs to you? Get them. Get them out of here because we're going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against it is so, its people are so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. And he said, hurry, get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. Angels take charge. Move Lot to safety. Tell them what they're going to do. Get your sons. And it says that he went out to talk to his sons. And it's my feeling they were right outside the door. Didn't say he had to go out and look for them. Just said he went out and talked to them. I don't know if they were blind. But all the men of the city, young and old, were there, and his sons-in-law were there. And he was going to allow his daughters to marry these men. Now, that's a problem. His daughters were fine with marrying them. That's a problem. You can't pitch your tents towards Sodom, move into the city, be stained with sin, and expect to come out unscathed. It will have an impact on you. Hurry, get out of this place. And he brings a message of mercy to his sons-in-law, said, hey, judgment is coming. They said, you're joking. They said, we don't believe you. God's not going to do that. And I'm telling you, you are surrounded by people in your life that do not believe that God would ever judge them. And when you tell them of the mercy of God, see, those sons-in-law, they missed the mercy of God. And you are surrounded by people that are in danger of missing the mercy of God. Let's take a look at Lot. With the coming of the dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and the two daughters who are here with you, or you will be swept away when this city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them to safety out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them.
Amen.
One of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. And here is the offer of the mercy of God. Lot had to move quick. He was in the way of impending judgment. He was in the wrong place with the wrong people. And I hope you're making good choices about the people that you're hanging with. Is it quiet? Are we okay? Is this reaching back there, Sandra? Is it reaching all the way back there? He was a righteous man surrounded by sin. And as he's leaving, this righteous man, there's a hesitation. Get out of here! Judgment's coming! Do I really want to go? Because sin will grab on. Sin will grab on to your ankles and pull you back with the hand of the Lord reaching out. Amen? It says, come on! Grabs him by the hand, yanks him out. The mercy of God, because his hesitation would have caused him to miss the mercy of God. It says, you got to go. You got to run. You got to get out of here and don't look back. And his wife looks back and is turned into a pillar of salt. She missed the mercy of God. Amen. Jesus tells us, no one, Luke chapter 6, 9, verse 62, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Mercy of God, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ poured out for you. You can miss it. We are surrounded by people who will miss it. And my question to you this morning is, how you doing? How you making it? You gonna dwell and embrace the mercy of God, or are you going to miss it? I'm going to close our time with this. Verse 29. Lisa, you can come up. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, three things. He remembered Abraham. He brought Lot out of the catastrophe. And he destroyed the cities. And it doesn't even seem to be a challenge for him. Because he can bring destruction. He can bring judgment. And he can spare the righteous. He, in his mercy, spared Lot. And he continues doing an incredible work with Abraham. And I'm wondering which one of these three describes your situation today. Because I'm telling you, God is doing a mighty work in this place. And God is doing a mighty work in many of your lives, and you are embracing his mercy, and you are learning his trust, and you can relax in the promises of God. And you and your children, because you're teaching them, are moving into righteousness and justice. And you are participating in the fullness of God. But there's some that are hesitating. See, you have, many of you have, as the song says, put your hand in the hand of the man from where? From Galilee, right? And there are some who have reached out to that hand, but yet hesitate and yet pull back. And he says, come on, I want to deliver you out of this drama and out of this stain and out of these issues into the mercy of God. And there's a hesitation thinking, I don't know if I really want to go. It looks so good back here. And the last group is just flat out in danger. You think I'm joking. You think this word is a joke. But I want to let you know this morning, I'm not joking. And this word is not a joke. And what also is not a joke is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your soul right now saying, he's not joking. There is a judgment day that is coming. And you are liable to destruction. You are looking back. You are in a point of hesitation. You are in the path of judgment. And unless you move, unless you put your hand out, you will be destroyed. And the question is who are you today? Because today could be a day to experience the mercy of God. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing that it is a dangerous time in which we live. The city square is not safe, Lord. The outcry is great. And Lord, we know that that outcry reaches your ears. Lord, we don't want to live in ignorance. We thank you for the message of mercy, Lord, that goes to Abraham, that goes to Lot, and goes to the sons-in-law. And maybe you feel like Abraham this morning going, oh, Lord, your mercy is so glorious. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I can rest in your promises. Rest knowing that you have my future in your hands, Lord. And rest knowing that I can work like crazy in response to that mercy, Lord. Not to get it, but just because I am set free. I could be like Abraham. I could have an impact. I could make a difference. I could be involved in that program with those children, Lord. I could pour out my life. I can do all things because you strengthen me. Amen? That's you this morning. I just am believing that the Holy Spirit is here this morning, putting his arms around you, patting you on the back, going, good job, son. Good job, daughter. We are headed in the right direction. I've included you in all these things that you can see it so that you can grow and you can mature and you can make an impact. You can learn how I am. Maybe this morning you're more like Lot and you have put your hand out and the man from Galilee has reached down from heaven and you are just kind of wavering. There's so many of these things that I like. I really don't want to give them up. You know, just a 40 every once in a while. I got my little friend over there. I don't want to give her up. Oh, Lord, I lie a little bit and I cheat a little bit and I steal a little bit. Not just to get by. I really don't know if I want to come all the way. But I do like holding your hand, Lord. Makes me feel good. Lord says, that's not good enough. I'm glad you're reaching, but you got to be walking. Don't miss my mercy. And maybe you are here and the Holy Spirit has just singed you with a searing hot iron that just pierced your soul and says, that's what judgment's going to be like. And you're lined up for that. But today, because Jesus Christ has hung on a cross to set you free from your sin, that stain can be cleansed anew and you can be set free. And you're here this morning and you don't like the way that felt. And the Lord Jesus Christ is right here in this room offering you his hand. And you would say, Lord, you're not joking, are you? He says, I'm not joking. Don't miss my mercy. I don't know how many more shots you're going to have, but I dearly encourage you not to miss this one. You're here this morning and nobody's looking around, but you are here and you are tripping out right now because you do not want to have burning sulfur rain down on you. You want to go to a burning lake of fiery sulfur. And you want to be cleansed anew by the blood of Jesus Christ. You want to be transformed. I'm not talking about, you feel like Lot and you're hesitating. I'll talk to you in a minute. I'm talking about, man, right now the Holy Spirit saying, you are in danger. And you're saying, oh, Lord, please, 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 please have on me. I am so lost and I don't want to be lost anymore. I am so stained by sin. I have no clue how to get clean, Lord. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to ask for your mercy that you would come and you would cleanse me. Cleanse me now, Lord. I don't want to be judged. Nobody looking around, but if that's you, I just want you to quickly raise your hand up and say, that is me. I am afraid today. Somebody put their hand up and say, that's me. Back here. Anybody else say, that's me. Right here. Somebody else say, that's me here. Put your hand down when I see you. Anybody else, man? Do it quick. Do it quick. Holy Spirit is on you right now. You are feeling just like totally uncomfortable. God is saying, that is you. I saw that hand over there. Anybody else? I'm just going to pause for one more second. Don't be lost. Don't walk out of here the same. Anybody else? Lord, for each person that is here, Lord, that put their hand up, Lord, I pray just by your Spirit, you just come into this place, Lord. Lord, with a bucket and a sponge, Lord, and just begin to do a new work, Lord, in us, Lord, in each one of these people, Lord, as they move on, Lord, in your promise. You be glorified in them. Now, perhaps you are here this morning and you have been holding your hand out and you've been hesitating, and there's some things, right, today that the Lord has brought to light. It might be some of the things I mentioned. It might be something totally different. But he's saying, hey, you're going to dwell in my mercy this part of your life. You know what it is. He's pointed that out. Said specifically this. I want you to leave that behind and follow me. You know what it is that he's asking you to let go of to take a step closer to him. So I want you to just raise your hand up and say, that's me. That's me. God's speaking right back here, 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 all over the place, all over the place. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to stand. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. We're going to sing this song. He's going to sing it. The worship team's going to come up. And if the Lord is speaking to you, maybe you just want to come up and worship, but the Lord has spoken to you and he has cleansed you and he has asked you to do something. I want to pray with you as these come forward. I want you to just move out from where you're at. The worship team's going to sing.